FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.
I'm Adrian Kennedy. That man there is Mr. Jeremy Dixon.
Yes, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good night.
It covers all bases.
Covers everything. So I'm actually busy at the moment, if you don't mind.
Oh, sorry about that.
Just on Amazon trying to buy a new book that's just come out.
Could you not have done this before the show?
No, I was busy before the show. Well, actually, it says here that the book isn't out yet on Amazon. It's not available yet.
Oh, right, okay.
But I hate the way Amazon does that. Customers who bought this book also bought other books.
Yeah, no, I don't want to know about the other books.
I don't want to know about the other books. Yeah. I was looking for, those of you who may not be aware of this, this is bizarre. Gerry Adams, former president of Sinn Féin.
Correct.
Of course. Lovely man, by all accounts. Have you ever met him?
Once, many, many years ago.
Nice fella, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
I met him once.
He was a gentleman. But he's bringing out a new cookery book. Now, by new, I don't mean did he have an old one as well. But Gerry Adams has decided to publish a cookery book, which will include some of the best kept secrets of the Irish peace process. The former Sinn Féin president intended to reveal the recipes which sustained Republicans through nights and years of talks. So, Gerry Adams, this is not a Waterford Whisper story, by the way. We're not making this up. This is actually factual. Gerry Adams
is releasing a cookery book.
Well, he must be right. I thought it was released, which was why I was trying to buy it on Amazon. And now I can get to Rena Allen's one.
No.
That's any good. Mary Berry's cookbook, whatever that is.
Customers who bought this previously
also bought Mary Berry's. Bizarre, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
What sort of recipes will be in that book, Adrian, would you imagine?
Well, actually, I'd love our listeners to suggest what you would call a Gerry Adams cookbook. Yeah? And what sort of things would you put in that cookbook? For example...
Someone straight away there text in, exploding stew.
Okay, I like it.
Is that a thing?
Exploding stew? Yeah. No, I've never heard of it.
You've obviously never tasted my mother's stew.
Another suggestion was he should have a recipe in there for orange flan. Do you get it? Like orange?
Orange flan, yeah. No, yeah. I like an orange flan myself, I have to say.
So text or WhatsApp either what you would call the book or what recipes you think Gerry Adams should put in that book.
Okay, text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98. Some of this could be bordering on slander, Adrian. I'm just saying, be careful what you read out.
Could possibly be.
Text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98. What recipes do you think Gerry Adams will include in this new cookbook? Now, it's not just desserts, Adrian. It covers everything. It's basically any meal that a Republican would want to eat. Do you get me?
And nobody else would want to eat.
Well, I don't know about it. How about this for dessert, Adrian?
Go on.
I don't know. How about Bomb Surprise?
Now you're getting silly.
What? I love Bomb Surprise. Do you even know what a Bomb Surprise is?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's the thing with ice cream and meringue on top and you set it on fire.
If you're setting
that on fire, you'd want to make sure you're a couple of hundred... Make sure you're in a different county and make sure you have an alibi before that goes on fire.
Okay, text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98. What should Gerry Adams either call his cookery book or what recipes should be in Gerry Adams cookery book?
I don't think James is getting it. She said ratatouille. That makes absolutely no sense. What is ratatouille?
I don't know.
It's like an eggplant or something like that.
I don't know what it is.
It's a vegetable or something like that.
Okay, text or WhatsApp us 0877 98 98 98. What should Gerry Adams either call his book or what recipes should be in the book? Like Daniel's suggestion, which is?
Bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
I can't laugh at that. I'm sorry.
Why? I think that's quite funny. Bangers and mash, yeah, that it has to be in there, doesn't it?
It has to be, yeah.
It would. A Gerry Adams cookbook, and one of the items in there, one of the recipes in there, has to be bangers and mash.
Or even better, Daniel, bangers and smash.
That could go too, wouldn't
it? Yeah, I mean, either works. The only thing about it is, Daniel, do you really need a recipe for mashed potato and sausages, Adrian? I mean, what's the recipe? There's no recipe.
You have to make the gravy and all that as well. Bangers and mash has to have gravy with it.
Actually, has to have beans, to be
beans?
Honest. Yeah, beans. I don't do gravy with sausages.
Well, then it's not bangers and mash. That's sausages, beans and mash.
Are you a fan of bangers and mash, Daniel?
Yeah, well, don't mind it yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's something I used to eat as a kid. Remember, you used to make a mountain with the mashed potatoes?
Yeah, all the time as a kid, yeah.
Yeah, that was great fun. You wouldn't know this, Adrian, but when you were a kid. Oh, you were a kid as well.
I was, obviously.
Did you ever make a mountain with your mashed potatoes?
Oh, yeah, obviously. I actually still do it. Had the truth be known.
Like a volcano, a mashed potato volcano. Yeah, it's an amazing thing to do.
Lads, it doesn't matter what the book is called because the book is going to bomb anyway.
Does bomb mean do well or do bad?
Do badly.
Is that what it means?
It's going to bomb, yeah.
Okay. How about this for the name of the book? Jerry, if you're listening, this is gold, this is. We're giving you so much material. How about this one for the name of the cookbook, Adrian?
Yeah, go on.
Cookie Our Law.
Yeah, I like that. That's very good. Yeah, okay. Keep them coming in. 0877 98 98 98 0877 98 98 98. He should also include a recipe in there for hot cross bombs.
Allegedly.
Just saying. Oh, hang on, I have another one.
No, don't.
Max just texted in. He should have a recipe in his book for...
I don't want to know.
I'll tell you in a second.
I don't want to know. I'm sorry I brought it up now. It's actually very unfair. The poor man's trying to bring out a cookbook. He's trying to get on with... He hasn't gone away, you know. By the way,
he hasn't gone away.
The man's trying to get on with his life. He's trying to leave his murky past behind him. And there's you dragging it up.
Okay, here's one of my favourite things to eat is a Guinness and stout pie or Guinness and beef pie. Yeah,
a Guinness and beef.
Oh, well, something like that. But somebody suggested.
Yeah,
a Semtex and stout pie. One more. Okay, I love this one. Bomoffy pie.
I do love banoffee pie.
Banoffee pie. Some of our listeners. Oh, one more.
Oh,
one
get
more.
Over us. Move on.
One more.
Yes.
He has to have a recipe in there for a bloody Sunday.
That's actually not funny. That's not even a meal. That's not even a meal. You're not even getting the thing.
Anyway, thank you.
Can I just say, if you're lodging a complaint about that, I didn't laugh at any of those. It was Adrian that was laughing. Thank you very much. So direct your complaints towards Adrian and not Jeremy. I'm not involved.
And just one more. Can I just throw one more in?
Yeah.
He has to have a recipe in his book.
Stop telling me what he has to do.
He has to have a recipe
have to
in
do
his
anything.
Book for death by chocolate. Okay. They're just suggestions.
Again, allegedly.
No. They're just suggestions for things that should be in his cookbook.
Death by chocolate,
yep.
Which is of course
it is a thing.
I had it at the weekend. It's a beautiful. It's a chocolate three layer cake served with cream.
Sinful.
It's beautiful.
Anyway, thank you for all of your suggestions, Jerry. We won't charge anything for those suggestions.
Do you honestly think he's going to include any of those?
Maybe not.
What about instead of chicken vindaloo, chicken Mary Lou? Our listeners are very.
He should call the
very funny.
He should call the cookbook the Northern Ireland Peas Process.
Oh, the peas process.
Peas
okay,
process.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Anyway, thanks. Some of them I can't actually read out.
So sorry, the ones you read out are the acceptable ones.
Yeah, they are.
Jesus,
yeah, they are.
What are the unacceptable ones?
Bernie, just very quickly, Bernie, what would you do?
How's it going?
Hi, Bernie.
Definitely nicknamed the book "Are Your Eggs."
I are eggs.
Yeah.
I are eggs.
Irish Republican eggs. Go on.
Good luck. I are eggs.
Again, nice. We cannot confirm whether Jerry Adams was ever a member of said legal organisation.
He does deny. So,
he does. So, yeah, yeah. I are eggs. There you go. Now, in fairness, if that was what the book was called, I think a lot of people would actually buy it.
Anyway, thank you.
Where did you have to drive from work today, by the way?
From home, which is in North County Dublin, just out towards Swords direction.
Okay, far? Was it far in the car?
It takes me 35 minutes.
Okay, so...
I drive to a bus stop and I park at the bus stop.
Ah, okay.
So I don't drive all the way into town.
But you drive quite a bit in your car, don't you? I mean, you're driving, you do a lot of gigs up north, don't you?
And down south and east.
In fact, you're
west.
Responsible for the peace process. The amount of gigs you do up north.
Why?
Don't
what
you?
Are you asking? Why are you asking me this?
I
do a fair bit of driving. Yeah.
Okay, should you have to pay more car tax than my mother? Say, Mammy Dixon. My mother has a car. Now, my mother's car is 12 years old, and when you get into her car, it still smells new. She
really? A 12-year-old car?
She literally never uses it. She doesn't use it for anything. My mother uses her car to drive to Super Value and back home.
That's it?
Once a week. Does the shopping. And that's it. The rest of the time, the car is parked outside the door. Is it fair that my mother's car tax should be the same as your car tax? You who drives...
A fair bit.
You're down in Cork every week as well. You're literally using your car every single day of the week.
Yes, I am, yeah.
That's the question I'm trying to ask.
Oh, should I pay more in car tax than your mammy who doesn't drive much at all?
Yes.
You see, here's the thing. I think I probably do pay more because I'm buying more petrol. And there's tax on every bit of petrol that you put into your car. This is a story today. Motorists may be taxed on the distance they drive rather than paying excise on fuel at petrol station pumps under plans proposed by senior officials. The government is considering numerous schemes to ensure the overall tax take from motoring does not drop significantly as a result of moves to lower emission vehicles.
Yeah, so obviously years ago when you bought a car, say if you bought a car in 2005, okay,
yep,
under the old car tax, your car tax would be based on the size of the engine. So I remember when I bought a 2-litre car, I think the car tax on it was 1,200 quid or something like that. But that's all gone now.
Mm.
Your car tax is based on emissions. So basically what the government realised now is they're not making as much money on car tax.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've gone, oh shit, what are we going to do? We're not getting as much money from the public on car tax. So how do we get more money out of motorists? And one of the things that's been suggested is that the more mileage you do, the more car tax you have to pay. Which would make sense because my mother, as I said, uses her car once a week, maybe twice a week. Why should she have to pay the same amount of car tax as you, who's on the road? I mean, there's not a day of the week you don't drive.
No, there isn't, no.
You're driving 7 days a week.
Yes, I am.
You're
yeah.
taking up her car space, which are big fancy 6-seater car. You're hogging her roads. You're polluting her airwaves.
You probably do the same, by the way.
But we're not talking about me at the moment.
Okay, the fact of the matter is, if you drive more, which I do, I obviously pay more tax because I am buying more petrol than your mother would. She probably puts petrol in her car once a year.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that woman in a petrol... But she doesn't know how to put petrol in her car.
Pardon me?
She doesn't know how to put petrol in her car. I shouldn't have said that on the radio. She's going to kill me.
Your mother doesn't know how to put petrol...
Well, it's not that she does... No.
Will you clarify that, please?
It's not that she doesn't know how to do it. She doesn't do it or won't do it. She goes into a... It's embarrassing. She goes into a garage forecourt.
Yeah.
And she, hello, young man! Young man, help an elderly lady. Help an elderly lady out. You'll be old someday yourself. She uses that line all the time.
So what? And she gets somebody to put the petrol in for her?
She'll get the forecourt attendant to put the petrol
in the
car.
It's hardly the most complicated process.
I know, but she's a bit afraid of like spontaneously combusting when she's putting petrol into car. She doesn't like doing it.
Anyway, should you be paying more road tax if you use your car more? If you're driving more on an average year? I would argue no, because we're already paying more in tax. Because we pay, obviously, tax on every litre of petrol we buy, or diesel, or whatever. Text or WhatsApp us on 0877 98 98 98. 0877 98 98 98.
So if you live in the commuter belt, isn't that what it's called?
Correct.
This big, huge belt around Dublin, which includes like Meath and Westmeath and Cavan and all that. It's hard to believe that if you live in Cavan, you're actually in the commuter belt. When Cavan is... Cavan is miles away.
That's just the way it is.
But if you live in one of those counties, how would you feel about having to pay more tax? Like, should I have to pay much car tax? I get the Lewis in. My car spends most of the day in my driveway.
Mm.
So why should I have to pay a lot of tax? I don't use my car that much during the week. Whereas, if you have someone who's living in, what's the name of that estate in Meath where all the Dubs live?
The estate in Meath?
The estate in Meath, or the area in Meath. All the Dubs have moved.
Ashburn?
No.
And Navan?
Johnstown?
And Dunboyne, every single place in South Meath.
Jesus, God love you, Meath. Johnstown. Say, for instance, you live in Johnstown in County Meath and you're driving up to Dublin every day.
Hmm.
Should you not have to pay more car tax?
No, because unfortunately, some of those people have absolutely no choice. They had to move further out from Dublin in order to afford a place to live. And in order to do that, they have to commute in and out of Dublin for work every day.
OK, let us know. Text or WhatsApp us. 0877 98 98 98. Do you agree with this proposal? Basically, someone like Adrian, who's on the road 7 days a week, should pay a lot more car tax than me, who's only on the road 2 days a week.
John, you're on 98 FM. How are you, John?
How are you doing? How are you
John,
doing?
You think that's very unfair?
I think it's unfair for the likes of people who have had to move outside the city to pay rent and, you know, to try and find a cheaper place to live. And their jobs might still be in Dublin City. So, like, they're driving extra miles every day, you know, not for the love of it.
Yeah, it's not like they have a choice in the matter. They have to get to work, and work happens to be in Dublin, and they happen to live in whatever, Kells and Meath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say...
They're getting us on car years and... Car CC, so...
Yeah, no, I have to say, I think it's desperately unfair that people like that will be penalised. And the commuter belt for Dublin stretches as far as Cavan, down south as far as Carlow, as far as Portlaoise.
Oh, well, I have a friend, John, who lives in the commuter... Well, he says he lives in the commuter belt, and he lives in a place called, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, a more depressing place you'll never drive through, Port Arlington.
Oh, Port Arlington, yeah.
Oh,
jeez.
That was the most pleasant place.
He bought a house down there. Now, in fairness, he couldn't afford anywhere closer, but he bought a house down in Port Arlington, John, a year ago, and he's been inviting us down for a housewarming, and I've come up with so many excuses to get out of it because I can't go to Port Arlington. It's horrible. But the point is, he's driving up to Dublin every day doing huge mileage.
Thing.
What?
That's the thing, and it's 150 a litre in petrol at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's
very unfair on people who have no choice but to do that.
Yeah. You know, buy an electric car when they're not 20,000 euros, things like that.
I do think, for example, sales reps that are out on the road working for companies, yeah?
Yes.
And they're travelling up and down the country, down to Cork and up to Galway, and I do think they maybe should pay a bit more because... They're doing it for commercial gain, not just to get to work.
Where do you live, John?
Phibsborough.
Ah, Phibsborough. Well, Jesus, you couldn't be any more central.
No, I'm only feeling sorry for the people.
Yeah. Ah, no, don't feel sorry for them, John. Don't feel sorry for them.
Oh, but we got a message. Thanks, John. We got a message from one of our listeners, and it says, I drive every day from Navan into the docks in the city centre. It's bad enough the price of fuel to travel every week. And that's the point. He lives really far away, and he doesn't think he should have to pay road tax. It's not like he moved to Navan because he loved the place.
That's a horrible thing to say to
you. It isn't.
What?
You don't move into Navan just for the love of it. Nobody woke up in Dublin one day and said, ha ha,
someday I dream of living in Navan.
Yeah, nobody ever said that.
Well, yes, the people who live in Port Arlington are probably saying it. I'd rather live anywhere. Actually, if you could live outside any town outside Dublin, where do you think is the nicest place to live?
Where would I like to live?
Okay, outside, supposing things all went arse over tit for you, which I believe is on the cards.
Yeah, where would I like to move to?
And you had to move outside Dublin. Where?
Where would I like to live?
Within the commuter belt now.
Oh, within the commuter belt?
But within a driving distance of Dublin.
Oh.
Think about it.
Oh, I have a place, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Greystones. I love Greystones.
Yes, it's a...
Yeah, I like Greystones, yeah.
It's a beautiful little place,
isn't it? It is, yeah.
Little quiet village.
Any further south than that now, Wicklow Town is getting a bit hairy.
And then into Gorey, you're into
Bandit country,
yeah.
Neve, you're on 98 FM. Hi, Neve.
Hi, how are things?
Okay, you think that it would be very unfair to tax motorists more for the distance they drive?
Well, I do, yeah, because, well, I started driving 2.5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and when I started driving, the price of unleaded was 128 per litre, mm-hmm. and it's now up at 149 nearly.
Yeah, it is nearly 150,
so
yeah.
I feel like we are already paying extra tax. Fair enough if you don't drive that often, but... I feel if you are driving, you're already paying the extra tax on the
fuel. Yeah, I mean, you pay excise duty, you pay VAT every time you buy a litre of petrol. So if you're driving much more, you are paying much more tax. And that was the point I was making a while ago. I think it's very unfair.
And where do you live? Where do you live, Niamh, if you don't mind me asking?
I live in Sligo, but I'm originally from Mullingar, so I do go back and forth very often. But I don't know how they would figure out the mileage everybody's doing because.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't.
What, do you have to submit your annual mileage in order to pay your road tax?
Well, possibly. I don't know.
But in saying that, when you're applying for insurance, they say, on average, how much would you drive? It's kind of hard to
work out how much
get
it is.
Get a number, because, yeah, I might be going to and from work, but I might want to go home every weekend or so. So it's kind of hard to put a number on what you're going to be driving.
Now, what's my life more like in Mullingar? Is that where you're living at the moment?
I'm living in Sligo at the moment, but it's around the same, 148, 149. I'm actually on the way back to Mullingar now. I'm just called in, but yeah.
Yeah, there used to be a time where the service stations down the country, the fuel would be dirt cheap, but that's all gone now.
No, it is all gone.
Yeah, it's completely gone.
Same everywhere. All right, thank you, Niamh. A few more messages. I have to drive every day to Dublin from Meath. I already pay 6 tolls a day, and my insurance is £1,000, says Louise. So, in other words, again, she's no choice but to drive. And if you go along the M3, there are 2 tolls on the M3. And then if you drive in the M50 after the M3, that's another toll as well.
Jesus, what's
6
the point?
Tolls a day.
What's the point? And keep texting in. There's a few people texting in about, well, they're giving out about me saying about Port Arlington being a kip. I'm sorry, it is. I'm sorry, the truth hurts. But if you live outside Dublin, or if you could live outside Dublin in the commuter belt, where would you like to live? Now, Adrian already has Greystones.
Yeah, Greystones, Mark. Yeah.
So is there a place, or where is nice to live outside Dublin within the commuter belt? What village or town is completely unspoiled? Now, another one which I believe is quite nice, Adrian, Ratoath.
Yeah, Ratoath's quite nice, yeah.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, it is. It's no Greystones now, I have to say.
Well, no, of course, it's Ratoath.
Katie's trying to say it's affluent.
See, they just get silly then. Sorry, okay. Ratoath is affluent. Is that what she said?
Affluent, yeah. I live in Port Arlington, says this person who's taking you to task. I've lived there for the last 13 years. Came down from Dublin. Great town. Would never move back to Dublin. So get down for the house party to see what it's all about before you judge.
No, just my child has been sick every time he's had a housewarming. My child just keeps getting sick every time the housewarming is on. I can't go to it. I'm sorry.
Anyway, the majority of you believe it is very unfair to be taxing extra for the distance. They shouldn't have to pay extra. The government get more tax from these people than people who don't use their car much. They pay car tax, tax on fuel, as well as all the other taxes. I live in Duleek, and Bus Éireann changed the bus route, so there is no direct bus to Duleek during the day, only one to Blanchardstown. And this lady on the phone is Lauren. You're on 98 FM, Lauren.
I'm good.
Good. Now, Lauren, you lived in a certain place outside of Dublin and you couldn't wait to get out of it.
Yeah. I grew up in it's a little village in Newcastle, out near Greystones, about 5 miles from Greystones. And I just couldn't wait. You know, when you live down there and, you know, if you don't drive, you have a bus every hour. It was just, I couldn't just wait. I couldn't wait to get out of it. But now when I look back on it, I had the best childhood. When I look back at it now, it was absolutely brilliant. Like,
but now, if anybody knows Newcastle, there isn't a lot going on in Newcastle.
No. And the thing that annoyed me about that place, Aaron, is the accent. Oh, aye, man, cup of tea, man. Fogging the time.
No, not that Newcastle.
Fogging the time.
No, not that Newcastle, you gobshite. What? The one down past Greystones.
About 4 or 5 miles past Newcastle, you have the New Accent and you have the Wicklow Accent.
Yeah, it gets dog rough down there. I lived in Kilcool for a couple of years, and at least Kilcool has a few more shops and stuff. Newcastle has nothing.
Nothing. One pub and one shop. That's about it.
I'd say, Lauren, you stood out like a sore thumb down there, did you?
Why?
Why? Because she's as Dublin as we are.
She's from Newcastle.
What?
She's from Newcastle.
And where did the accent come from then, the Dublin accent?
Where do you live now?
I live in Blanchardstown.
Ah, there you go.
There's
your answer.
There's where it comes from.
All right, Lauren, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, I'd be right in saying there's about 5 Newcastles in Ireland.
Yeah, there's loads. There's one in Dublin. There's one in Wicklow.
There's one up north.
One down in Limerick. Newcastle West.
Yes.
Down in Limerick. There's loads of them, yeah. Anyway, now...
Oh, by the way, the women's hockey, what did you make of that?
I was delighted for them.
Yeah.
I was delighted for them.
Of course, up until last week, you were the huge Irish women's hockey supporter.
I absolutely was. No, I wasn't. Here's the thing I like about the whole hockey story, yeah?
Yeah, because I'm just looking. It's still trending online today. This is, of course, the Irish women's hockey team. They became the first ever Irish team in any sport to get into a World Cup final. Which is bizarre, considering what a small nation we are. And they were hockeyed out of us by
Spain.
By the Netherlands.
By the Netherlands, sorry. Yeah, 6-0.
And they got a great homecoming.
Yeah, they did.
And
well deserved. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people have been saying over the last couple of days it's all jumping on the bandwagon stuff and all
that.
And
it is.
To an extent, I agree. However, I have to give the team credit for putting the game on the map. I can honestly tell you, up until last week, I had never watched a game of hockey in my life. Ever. Wouldn't know the last thing about it. And I was fascinated watching the game the other day. I was even more fascinated watching the penalty shootout, where you have to get a goal in 8 seconds and all that. The point I'm making is that because of their achievement, people have now seen a game of hockey.
Yeah, but it's kind of insulting. I put up a tweet about this the other day, and I got dogs abuse over it. And I put up a tweet about the whole bandwagon jumping and the fact that everybody all of a sudden was a fan.
I was a fan. I said I watched the match. I watched half of the match, and I watched the penalty shootout against Spain, just out of interest.
Yeah, but it's kind of like you know the way you have friends who are never around when you really need them. Isn't that what it's kind of like? It's kind of insulting. And that's what we are. We're all friends of this hockey team, but we weren't there when they needed us. But then when they don't really need us, we're all there.
The point I'm trying to make is that most of us listening right now had never ever seen a game of hockey, okay?
No.
I can now say I have seen a game of hockey. I thought it was quite good to watch.
But by next week you'll have forgotten about it again. You will.
It won't be on the telly again, probably.
And so someone was claiming to me, they said that the media are to blame for this for not highlighting it over the years. Here's the thing. The media highlight things that they feel a lot of people are interested in, okay? That's what we give. That's what the media are there for. And up until last week, nobody is wrong, but very few people showed any interest in Irish women's hockey. Mm. And then all of a sudden, and it was like when Ireland qualified for a major competition in football. You have people wearing football jerseys who won't wear them any other day the year. The point I'm trying to make is, if you're going to, and they deserve all the praise that they got. Okay,
that's all I'm saying.
But continue to support them then. But you won't. You won't.
But let's put it this way. I now know, as a result of the whole hockey hype over the last couple of days, that they've now gotten extra money to help them to prepare for the Olympics. And if they get into the Olympics, they could do quite well. And I'm delighted about that. There is no downside to this story.
It just shows the Irish sing while you're winning support that we do have.
I think we all do that. I don't think it's just an Irish thing, to be quite honest with you. And credit where credit is due. That was some crowd on Dame Street yesterday.
Absolutely.
It really was. Yeah. I was when I saw the videos of it, I was blown away by the support that they got in town yesterday. It really was brilliant.
And they deserve it. But half of the people there had no interest in it up until they were just, again, jumping on the bandwagon. And I despise bandwagon jumping. It's like Dubs supporters. They'll be on this phone moaning on this show in a couple of weeks that they can't get tickets for Dubs matches.
But were they there on Sunday when it was a non-match? No.
No. Do they go to Parnell Park to see Dubs playing in the league? No, they don't.
I agree with that. I agree with that, actually. Because the crowd on Sunday was desperate for the Dublin-Roscommon match. It was pathetic.
That's the point. Why?
It was pathetic.
Why would
because
you go
it was
to
a non-match. Yeah. It didn't matter whether we won, lost or drew.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a downside to the hockey story. I think it's brilliant. I really do.
Okay. Does Ireland have a toboggan team?
I don't know. And maybe I should jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah. Literally jump on the bandwagon.
Now, you've another story here. Actually, maybe I have it, do I? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to any weddings this year?
Well, I'm supposed to be going to a housewarming in Port Arlington, so let's get that one out of the way first. This year is a good year for me because I don't have one wedding invite this year.
So that's a good year.
It's a good year.
Actually, between now and the end of the year, don't myself. So
I think it's probably because of our age.
No,
I think most of your friends are probably already married.
Yeah, a lot of them will be, yeah.
And same
but
with
anyway,
mine.
a story you may be doing the rounds today. In fact, this is in today's Herald. Yeah.
Yes.
And consider the guests, don't have them dreading your wedding. And it's all about weddings and how much you should give as a gift for a wedding.
No, I don't want you to mention what the going rate is now, according to that paper. I nearly puked when I saw that. I got sick in my mouth when I read.
It's a bit dramatic, if you don't mind me saying
that. Slight exaggeration, okay. But when I saw what the going rate is for wedding presents now, Well, I was flummoxed.
Okay, so a couple going to a wedding, yeah? So you go with Mrs. D to a wedding. How much should you give as a gift? Now, this is a close friend or a relative or whatever. How much should you give as a gift?
Let me see the article. Right? Yeah. I mean, whoever wrote this article is obviously rolling. Do you get paid much writing for the Herald?
No, not a washer, no.
Oh, really?
No, it's brutal. I'm joking, they're good.
Whoever wrote this article has obviously got a lot more money than me. So in this article, and we're not going to tell you how much it is, we want you to try and see what you think it should be. So this is saying, when it's a close friend or family member, if you are a couple, okay, not a single person, if you are a couple going to a friend or family member's wedding, you should give this much as a wedding gift. Because it's all cash now. Now, you can't give someone a feckin' set.
No, it is all
what's
cash. Yeah.
What's wrong with a set of cutlery? Who doesn't want cutlery?
Who doesn't have cutlery?
I got a lovely, for our wedding, a lovely Newbridge carving knife that I used to carve up the ham.
Very
and
nice,
chicken.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So what's wrong with that?
I agree, Newbridge stuff is lovely. But anyway, if you're going to a wedding this year...
Now, this is very important. A close friend... Or family member. Okay.
How much as a couple will you give as a wedding gift? Is it like 50 quid? Is it 100? Is it 150? Is it 200? Is it 300? Text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98.
And then we'll let you know what the exact figure is according to this Herald article. But we want to find out what you think the going rate for a friend or family member is. Now, the little clue is I got sick in my mouth when I read this story.
Yeah, but you're a tight git.
Oh, I am. When there's a wedding in work here and someone's getting married,
yeah,
and they hand the card around and the envelope.
Jeremy gives a fiver.
Oh, no, I don't. I signed the card, but I don't put any money in the envelope.
Ah, well, I saw you giving a fiver once. You did. That was for me.
I actually gave a lot more than a fiver for you. Thanks very much.
Right. Text or WhatsApp.
750.
0877 98 98 98. If you're going to a wedding or have been to a wedding this year for a close friend or a family member, how much did you give as a gift? Because this article says there is a set amount that you should not go below if they're close to you.
And I think this figure that they're claiming is absolutely ludicrous. I think it's crazy that you're expected to hand out that much money to a friend. Because basically what you're doing, by the way, is you're paying to go to something. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Put it this way. This figure that they are after coming up with, yeah? I could get a weekend away for that.
Text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98. I want to find out what you actually gave as a gift for a wedding this year, or what you're planning to give as a gift for a wedding this year of a close friend or family member.
And now here's the thing, as Adrian was saying, you are judged on how much you give. On our wedding night, myself and my wife, we went back up to the room and we had all the cards and they were all laid out on the bed and all the presents. And basically, my wife was trying to do anything to get out of making love to me on her wedding night. So she said, can we open the cards and see who gave what?
So who actually opens their cards on the wedding night?
The majority of people do, yeah.
No, sorry, hang on. Nobody does.
Yeah, we did. So we're sitting at the end of the bed in the bridal suite. And, okay, so let's see. So John and Breda. They only gave 70 quid. Oh, I'll remember that. And you do begrudge the people that give you...
I don't agree with you, I have to say. I can tell you that we opened our cards not on the wedding night.
That's because you were stoicious. You couldn't even tie your shoelace on your wedding night.
No, I wasn't. And not on the wedding night, we opened the cards. It was a couple of days later. And I am aware that a couple of people were a bit stingy. But I couldn't tell you who they are.
Name and shame.
No, but I couldn't tell you who
they are. Oh, no, do tell me. I want to know.
We would open a card and you'd say the 70 quid. Oh, yeah, okay, stingy. But I didn't make note even in my head of who that person was.
So you think 70 quid is stingy?
I did think 70
quid
is stingy.
Jesus, isn't it great to be in that ivory tower you're living in, Adrian?
Phyllis!
70 quid.
Hiya.
Close friend or family member, a wedding, how much?
About 200, 250.
About 200 or 250.
Yeah, it depends on where the hotel is.
Oh, why? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, because I tend to go by, I cover my own, I'd expect the meal would be, say, 60 to 80 euro a head.
Okay.
So I'd do that as myself, my partner. That's 160. So the rest, whatever I put in, I'm covering the meal for myself and my partner, and then the rest would be for the spenders.
So you're basically buying your own meal.
Yeah, that's the way I think it should be.
And that's the way it works nowadays, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but your average, how much is it for a head, Adrian?
For a head?
Yeah.
It depends on the hotel.
On your wedding day.
It really does depend on the hotel.
Some places up to 120 quid a head. Others 70 or 80.
So who's paying 120 quid for a head?
People who think their own shit doesn't stink.
Oh, those people.
Yeah.
My God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane money. So if you think about it then, if it's 120 quid a head, if you're having it at a really posh venue,
yeah,
then 200 is the least you should give as a gift. Isn't that it, Phyllis?
It is.
And Phyllis, do you not begrudge handing somebody 250 quid as a wedding gift?
Well, you get plenty of notice. You don't get 2 months' notice. Oh, I'm getting married in 2 months. You're getting nearly a year's notice. So you're saving for the wedding as well.
Yeah, but hang on. If every couple going to a wedding gives 250 quid and there's 100 people at that wedding, yeah?
Yeah.
That's... Adrian, do the math.
But their start in life, this is their future. Oh, giving them a little head start.
Yeah, but what's 250 by 100? Jesus, why can I not work that out?
It's 25 grand.
25 grand?
But that wouldn't cover their wedding like that.
Jeez, I'm getting divorced and getting married again. 25 grand.
Yeah.
Well, you're not. You are. You're always going to get the stingy people that's just going to throw the 20...
Yeah,
quid
and you do. It's not. It's, you don't get 200 quid from every person.
Yeah, but then I'm getting the suspicion then, Phyllis, that a lot of people are now are just getting married in order to get 25 grand.
No, you get married because you love the person.
But you're not making 25 grand because you have to pay for the bloody wedding.
Yeah.
It's not like it's
so you break even.
Yeah, it's not a profitable thing. Thanks, Phyllis. Michael.
Yes.
Michael, yeah. You're going to a wedding, close family member or friend. How much do you give?
I think at least like about 200 a year. I totally agree. The other lady, you know, just said, yeah, you have to pay, you know, they give you the money as a gift, but to cover your couple's meal at least, yeah.
Yes.
So, and also something extra, you know, so as a gift, yeah. Because it's very, really costly for the wedding. I totally understand anyway. So.
Well, unless you're eating caviar at a wedding, and I've never been to a wedding where caviar has been on the menu. Have you, Adrian?
No, I haven't. No.
Unless you're eating caviar and quail's eggs, as your wedding dish, there's not a hope that meal is costing 100 quid. Most wedding dinners are actually crap.
Yeah.
They're crap.
No, I agree, but it's some of the hotels, that's how they charge for the event. It's based on per head. That's not just the meal you're paying for, it's the whole day. But yeah, some places are charging stupid money per head.
And where are you from originally, Michael?
Originally I'm from China, yeah. But I live here for years.
You're from where?
China.
Oh, China. And what's the situation there as regards wedding gifts and money and stuff like that?
You said actually in China?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's actually more or less the same, actually. So yeah, could be more, you know, especially if you give them money to your friends or close friends or relatives. It could be more.
It could be more than 200. Okay, so let me read out a few more messages. 250 euro, which includes 100 euro for the meal for me and my wife. It is the norm here in Spain, says...
Okay, what did the Herald say, Adrian? What was the figure the Herald gave?
The figure the Herald gave was 200 euro per couple. So that's the average wedding gift you should be giving, 200 euro per couple. So if you're going to a wedding...
For a bit of stingy beef Wellington.
And you're planning to slip 70 quid into the envelope and think you're being very generous, you're not. Okay? And if you happen to have been at Jeremy's wedding and you are the person who gave him 70 euro, he knows your name.
Well, here's the thing. Our wedding was actually quite posh. We had a sorbet as a second course at our wedding. But you didn't
have
that.
It's just bloody ice cream.
What?
It's just bloody ice
cream.
Sorry,
what did you have at your wedding to cleanse your palate?
I didn't need a cleansing palate.
No. Scum.
Sorbet.
Scum. Was there no sorbet?
It's far from sorbet you were raised.
Did you not
I bet you can't even spell it.
No, I can't, but that's
there
not the point.
There you go. This is 98 FM's Dublin Talks.
98 FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.